want to talk about the flu that's going around. Boy, I sure hope you don't get it. I hear that if you do, it's really bad. And on the phone line is Dr. Michael Eisen. Doctor, this is John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate your patience with all of that. We had to get a couple things out of the way.
No problem.
How bad would you say is the flu in the Chicago area?
Well, we definitely are in a period where we're seeing very high levels of flu circulation in the community. Every year, there is an epidemic of influenza that affects the Chicagoland area as well as most parts of the United States. This typically occurs sometime between November and April each year, the peak occurring usually around this time of the year, which it is now.
Would you say, Doctor, that it's, and by the way, Dr. Michael Eisen is a professor of infectious diseases at Northwestern Medicine. Is it too late to get the flu shot?
It's definitely not too late to get the flu shot, and there's a lot of reasons to get it if you haven't. Number one, the flu shot protects you against influenza A and influenza B, and typically in flu seasons, the influenza A occurs earlier in the flu season, as we're seeing now, but a second B wave typically occurs around the time that the students are going for spring break. So getting the vaccine now could not only prevent influenza A, but also influenza B. Additionally, it's been clearly shown that even if you acquire influenza after you've gotten the flu shot, the likelihood that you get very sick, need hospitalization, or even die is reduced in those patients that have gotten the flu vaccine. So even if you get sick from the flu, it can help prevent you from getting very sick from the infection. So it's something we still recommend.
What do you say about this? I read that 30%, it's only 30% effective this year.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the current vaccine technologies that we use do sometimes result in years where the vaccine component in the vaccine is not as effective in preventing initial infection. But as I mentioned, even if you get the flu and you've had the flu vaccine that season, you're less likely to become severely ill, require hospitalization, or die. And so there's still a benefit, even if it doesn't prevent you from getting sick. Mm-hmm. And many of those patients that have gotten the vaccine may have a milder illness than those patients who have not been vaccinated.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I thought it was an on-off switch. You got it or you don't. It's possible I would get it, but it would be less severe?
Correct. And that's one of the main advantages of the flu vaccine, particularly if there's not a great match. The other thing is that the vaccine, although it may not be a great match for the H3 component of the circulating strains, appears to be a good, better match for H1 and the B strains. And so, again, gives you great protection for those other viruses as well.
Do you get to, is the word vaccinated or inoculated? What do you call it?
Yeah, vaccinated.
Do you get vaccinated with a shot? And how do you recommend people do that?
So basically, they can either see their physician in their physician's clinic, or a much easier way that many people may have an easier time accessing is through their local pharmacy. Many pharmacies are able to offer the vaccine, and many times that's paid for by the insurance and may cost them nothing to very few dollars based on their insurance. And they can just ask the pharmacist if they give the vaccine. If they do, they can give it. If not, they can tell you a pharmacy close by that would be able to help them out.
It's the same stuff at the doctor's office or at the county medical facilities or Walgreens? It's the same stuff?
Yep. Same vaccine everywhere. So basically, it doesn't matter whether you're getting it at a pharmacy, a health department, or a doctor's office. It's going to be the exact same vaccine.
Is there anybody that shouldn't get the vaccine?
Individuals that have true anaphylactic reaction to eggs, but people that basically have an intolerance and are able to eat egg-containing foods, it's not a problem at all. Additionally, patients that have gotten a rare disease called Guillain-Barré syndrome from the flu vaccine shouldn't get the flu vaccine. But that's probably all totaled less than 1% of the population.
I knew somebody with Guillain-Barré and never asked how they got it. It didn't seem to be appropriate. Is it possible they got it from a vaccine?
Although it is possible, most cases of Guillain-Barré are not related to the influenza vaccine at all.
Pregnant women can take it. People that are using other medications can use it. That is, take the vaccine.
Yeah. Basically, the influenza vaccine is recommended in every adult and child over 6 months of age, unless they have that egg allergy that's severe or have Guillain-Barré. So pretty much everyone should. And then there are some higher priority groups, those that have underlying medical condition, those that are morbidly obese, those that are very young or very old, and pregnant women who clearly have a higher risk of developing severe influenza if they do get sick with it.
I suppose people would be lining up more if they thought they had a better than 30% chance, your point notwithstanding about the shades of gray, but I think they would be happier to do it if they thought the number wasn't 30%. Can you talk to me about how they pick the strains and how far out in advance they have to sort of forecast what a given flu season will be?
Yeah, that's really the main challenge for the entire world at this point. So basically what happens is several groups around the country, including our Centers for Disease Control, collect a subset of samples of patients with influenza, and they look at those to decide which virus is circulating throughout the world at that time. In March, they have a meeting for the Northern Hemisphere vaccine in Geneva, where they talk through all of that data and decide which virus is going into the vaccine for the following years. It takes about 6 months from that decision until we have enough vaccine that we can vaccinate the entire U.S. Population. And unfortunately, over that time period, sometimes there are changes in the virus that's circulating such that the vaccine strain that's selected isn't necessarily a great match. And this year, there's some evidence to suggest that the virus may have changed a little bit over time, perhaps as part of the vaccine production process that made it a little less protective against the circulating strain of influenza. Mm. That being said, as I said before, even if you get sick from the infection, I would think that I'd want the vaccine if I knew that it was something that would reduce me from having to get into the hospital if I did get the flu, and more importantly, prevent me from dying.
By the way, there was two now cases of the measles going through O'Hare, which didn't surprise me. Measles is not that uncommon, right? And O'Hare is a big place.
Correct.
I wonder how they knew that two cases of the measles went through O'Hare and what the danger is to people that have gone through it.
Yeah. So, you know, the way that they discovered that this was the case was that the patient basically didn't know that they had measles when they were going through the airport, but subsequently was diagnosed with measles. They then, through the health department, have tried to alert the public for people that were present in the airport at the time. Unfortunately, I don't have the press release right up here about what the specific dates were. But patients that were, or individuals that were in the airport on one of the dates that the traveler passed through O'Hare should be on the lookout for fever, respiratory symptoms, or rash. And if so, they should seek care with their doctor.
Yeah, sure. But if I've had the measles before or was vaccinated against that, then I don't have to worry. Is that also true?
It reduces your risk. Part of the challenge is that some individuals that have been vaccinated may lose the protective antibody for influenza. And so as a result, even if you've been vaccinated, there's a much lower risk that you develop measles. Again, a lot of it depends if you got the full series, if you missed doses, and whether or not you've had more recent booster doses.
Can this flu kill you? I hear that it's just a whole six-pack of whoop-ass, this particular flu this year.
Yeah, so they're basically
that's
two,
not a medical term, by the way.
It is not, but yeah. it's capturing the key point. So there's basically two types of influenza A that commonly circulate, influenza H3N2, which is what we're seeing this year, which tends to be associated with more severe disease, more hospitalization, and higher rates of death. The one that people hear a lot about is H1N1, which is associated with the 2009 pandemic. And while, as we saw with the pandemic, this can also cause severe illness and death in those individuals, typically is a little less severe. And so I think that's part of the reason why we're seeing so many people getting so sick, and we're seeing reports of deaths at relatively high rates around the country.
If you get it, you got to ride it out. Is that it?
Well, the key thing is if you get sick, seeking care can be beneficial. There are treatments for influenza. If you call your doctor within 2 days of the onset of symptoms, they can prescribe antiviral medications to help shorten the duration of illness. That also has been associated with reduction in the complications that sometimes result from patients with influenza, like pneumonia, sinusitis, whatnot, and can reduce the likelihood of requiring hospitalization as well. If you're beyond that 2-day window or 48 hours, generally just staying hydrated, avoiding contact with other individuals because you're potentially infectious, so calling in and not going into work, not going into public places where unless absolutely necessary until mm-hmm. you're feeling better is something that's recommended. If you get worse, if you start getting short of breath, if you are really feeling very poorly, then you should seek care more quickly, a doctor if it's during the day or to the emergency room if it's after hours.
Really bad cold going around out there. These are unrelated, right? One doesn't have anything to do with the other?
So one of the challenges is this time of the year, there's a lot of viruses that circulate that basically can give symptoms very similar to the flu, but maybe are less severe, like colds. And then there's another virus called RSV that causes a flu-like illness. Really, the only way to differentiate those is to do a test, which for most people is probably not necessary. Yeah. Generally, no matter what the virus that's recovering, what's infecting the patient, they'll recover without any difficulty.
One last question. How long am I infectious? If I've got that flu, and most of us know, the minute you get the flu, you go, there it is. Damn. Same way with that head cold. How long before I can have contact with people?
Yeah, a lot of it depends on how you're feeling. If you're still having symptoms, as long as you're having symptoms, you should avoid that contact and avoid going into work. But generally, within about 5 to 7 days, people are no longer infectious.
Wow, that long.
It can be shortened if they're given treatment, but it, the replication of the virus in normal healthy people typically isn't clear till 5 to 7 days.
That's the flu we're talking about.
Yep.
Dr. Michael Eisen, professor of infectious diseases at Northwestern. You're terrific, doctor. I sure appreciate your help today. We may call you again. I hope not, but if we have more questions along these lines, we'll reach out to you.
Always happy to.